Tonight's shir is a Haggadah Pesach shir in preparation for Pesach. And the title of the shir tonight is A Multitude of Makos. I want to take up an area in the Haggadah. It's in some people's Haggadahs, not in everybody's Haggadah. And I'm going to explain what that means later on in the shir. But I want to take up a famous Mechilta brought down right after the Haggadah mentions Ditzach Adash Be'achav and right before Dayenu. There's this famous Mechilta which discusses not just the Makos in Mitzrayim, but Makos by Yamsuf. I want to take up the idea, the Machlokes, and what the various ideas are in this, you know, in this Mechilta. We'll take it up from number one on the source sheet, which is the beginning of the Mechilta, and I'm going to read through all the Shitas, and then I'm going to summarize, and we'll come back, we'll ask the questions, and we'll try to understand it. Rav Yosi Aglili Omer. Minayin ata omer shilaku hamitzrim b'mitzrayim eser makos v'al hayom laku chamishim makos. Rav Yosi Aglili said, from where do we know that in Mitzrayim there were 10 makos and by Yam Suf there were 50 makos? B'mitzrayim mahu omer. In Mitzrayim, what does it say? It's a funny question because it seems obvious that there were 10. What does it say by Mitzrayim? V'yomra chartumim el paro etzpo elokim hu. The Chartumim, the magicians of Paro, said that it's the finger of Hashem. Val Hayom, and by Yamsuf, by Kriyas Yamsuf, Mahu Omer, what does it say? Vayar Yisrael es Hayad Hagdolah Asher Asa Hashem b'Mitzrayim, Vayiru Ha'am es Adoshem, Vayaminu Badoshem v'Moshe Avdo. That Yisrael, they saw the great hand of God, and in terms of what he had done to the Mitzrayim by killing them at Yamsuf. And the people feared Hashem, and they believed in Moshe, his servant. Kama laku be'etzba eser makos. How many makos is referred to by etzba? 10. Emor ma'ata, say from now, b'mitzrayim laku eser makos, val hayom laku chamishim makos. That in Egypt there were 10 makos, and by Yamsuf there were 50 makos. The first shita maintains that in Mitzrayim there were the 10, and by Yamsuf there were 50. Okay? Rabbi Eliezer Omer, we have a second shita. What does he say? Minayin shekol maka umaka shehivya kadosh baruch hu al Mitzrayim b'Mitzrayim haisa shel arba makos. Where do we know that each maka in Mitzrayim was really 4 makos? Shenemar, as it says in the pasuk, yishalach bam charona po. Evra v'za'am v'tzara mishlachas malachei ra'im. As it says, he dispatched against them the kindling of his anger, wrath, fury, and trouble, a delegation of evil messengers. And we're going to explain that. Evra achas. Evra, the word evra means one maka. V'za'am shtayim. Za'am means two, is the second. V'tzara shalosh. And sara is the third. Mishlachas malachei ra'im, arba is 4. Based on this, we should say that in Mitzrayim, there were 40 makos, not 10, but 40, and by Yamsuf, there were 200 makos. So the second sheet, Rabbi Eliezer, is arguing with Rav Yosi Aglili, and he says that there are more than 10 makos in Mitzrayim, there are rather 40 makos in Mitzrayim, and by Yamsuf, Rav Yosi Aglili says there are 50 makos, and Rabbi Eliezer maintains there were 200. And then we have the last shita, is Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva Omer, minayin shekol maka umaka shehivya kadosh baruch hu ala mitzrim b'mitzrayim haisa shel chamesh makos. How do we know that every maka in Mitzrayim was really 5? Shenemar yishalach bam charona po evra v'zam mitzara mishlachas malachei ra'im. Quotes the same pasuk as Rabbi Eliezer from Tehillim ein ches memtes. Charon apo achas. When the pasuk says charon apo, it means 1. Evra shtayim. Evra means the second. V'za'am shalosh, za'am is the third. V'tzara arba, and tzara is the fourth. Mishlachas malachei ra'im, chamesh. Emar ma'ata, based on this, b'mitzrayim laku chamishim makos, v'al hayom laku chamishim u'masayim makos. That in Mitzrayim there were 50, and by Yamsuf there were 250. So we have three shitas in this mechilta. The first shita maintains that in Mitzrayim there were 10 makos, and by Yamsuf there were 50 makos. The second shita maintains that in Mitzrayim there are 40 makos, and by Yamsuf there are 200. And the third shita maintains that in Mitzrayim there are 50 makos, and by Yamsuf, by Kriyas Yamsuf, there are 250 makos. Now, there are a lot of questions on this mechilta, I would think. One question is, what is the machlokes? What are they really arguing about? Why would you say, you know, 50 by Yom Suf? And they're arguing about the makos in Mitzrayim and also the makos of Yom Suf. So what's the basis of the argument between these three shitas? But also on a, I think a simpler question is, we never hear about these makos by Yom Suf. We don't really hear that there was barad or dever by Yom Suf. So what exactly is this referring to when it says that there are 50 makos by Yom Suf? What exactly is it referring to? What is it referencing? It's also strange to say that there are more than 10 makos in Mitzrayim, because we classically say that there was, you know, Dam Tzvardeh, Kinam, Arav, Dever, you know, Dever, Shchin, Barad, Choshech, Arba, Makos, Bechoros. We say that there's 10 makos. So what does it mean that there is 40 makos or 50 makos? So that's really what I want to take up in tonight's shiur and try to get a deeper understanding of what that means. But just so that we understand the math of what's going on here, and this math exists by all three shitas. Look at Siddur Rashi, which is on my Torah Chaim Haggadah. Rashi says, "B'Mitzrayim ma'u omer, be'esar ha-makos shilaku b'Mitzrayim nemar etzba." By the 10 makos which the Mitzrayim were hit by, it says etzba. "Uv'makos shilaku alayom nemar yad." And in reference to the plagues by Yom Suf, it says Yad. Sheyesh ba chamesh etzbaos. On every hand, on most people's hands, there are 5 fingers. Tein lechol etzba ve'etzba eser makos. So for each finger, there's 10 makos. Harei shalaku al yom chamishem makos. And therefore, by Yom Suf, there was 50. So the way that the math works out is that the 10 makos of Mitzrayim are called etzba. And there are 5 etzbaos. There are 5 fingers on every hand. And by Yom Suf, it says, Yad HaGedola, the great hand, that the people saw the great hand of God. The great hand references that there's 10 makos for each finger, which means 50 makos. And each one uses the same logic, because Rabbi Eliezer, he maintains that there are 40 makos, because each mako was 4, and 40 makos are etzba, and there's 5 etzbos on a yad. So if you multiply 40 by 5, you get 200. And Rabbi Akiva is similar. He says that there are really 5 makos for each maka, so there's 50 in Mitzrayim, and you multiply it by 5, and you get 250 by Yom Suf. So what is the point of this? What is the point of this mechelta? What is the idea behind it? And one other point, in number 5, in source number 5, the Abu Dram, who is another Rishon, asks a good question. He says, Yesh lishal she'etzba elokim hi. When it says etzba elokimi, lo nemar ela almaka kinim bilvad. It only says this with regard to kinim. If we remember, if we go back to our makos, dam tzvardea kinim, kinim is the maka called lice. It's when the dirt of Mitzrayim turned into lice. And it, only in that by that maka is there a reference to etzba elokim. The ode, and not by every maka. So what exactly does it mean that every maka is called, or the 10 makos in general are called etzba elokim? The ode shari matzanu makas adever nasis biyad shalim shnemar hine yad Hashem ol yah. And also by dever, there is an idea of yad. The pasuk says yad by dever, so it's a problem that you're going to learn yad by Yom Suf to mean many makos when you see that yad is referenced in dever. So tshuva. So his answer is hapsukim bekan enam ela asmachta ba'alma v'hakabala hiya ikar. His answer is that the psukim that are being referenced in this mechilta, they're not really direct source for this idea, but they're an asmachta. What's an asmachta? An asmachta is where if you have a Kabbalah, you have a Mesorah for an idea, and then you find in the Psukim a Pasuk that is a similar idea and seems to support the concept that's been passed down, the tradition that's been passed down. That's an asmachta. So over here, it's important to know that Etzba Elokim, in terms of the Pshat, is a reference to one Makkah. But as an asmachta to whatever idea they're trying to express, it's an asmachta to that idea, this concept of etzba elokim. So I just want to understand what that idea is. And as I said before, the questions are obvious. What is the nature of this machlokes? You know, why is it significant that there are multiple makos by Yom Suf? What exactly does it mean that there are multiple makos by Yom Suf? We understand by Mitzrayim because it tells us in Mitzrayim about the makos, but it doesn't say anything by Yom Suf openly about these makos. So what is this? What is this idea? What is this concept? And if we were to, before we explain anything, if you were to categorize, you know, the different shitas, who would you say stands alone and who would you say are really arguing more with one another? How would you categorize this machlokas? So I would say that Rabbi Yossi Aglili, the first shita, is separate. Why? Because he doesn't really quote the pasuk from Tehillim. He just quotes Etzba and Yad, which everybody else uses. But Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, if you look at number 2 and number 3, they quote that pasuk from Tehillim. Shneamar Yishalach Bam Charon Apo Evra V'Zam Mitzvah Mishlachas Malachei Ra'im. And they argue about, you know, how many were in each makkah. So it seems to me that Rabbi Yossi Aglili would stand a little bit apart from Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva because he doesn't really quote that pasuk. But on the other hand, they're all expressing a similar idea because they're using the concept of etzba and yad to express the idea that they're trying to convey. So that's how I would just categorize it before we explain it or define it. Before I go on, does anybody have an approach? Has anybody ever thought about this in the past at the Seder? What this idea is of having multiple makos by Yamsuf? What's being expressed? Okay. All right, so I'll let you think about it more. So how do we approach this? How do we analyze this mechilta? We have to look at the psukim themselves. It's true that the Abu Dram maintains that it's not a direct source from the psukim, that this idea doesn't directly come from the psukim, but there is an idea in the psukim that would seem to relate to this concept. So I think the appropriate method to use is to go back to the psukim themselves. And let's go to Kinim. It says in number 6, Kinim is Shmos Parches. And we're going to do Pasuk Yudalad and Tesvav. It says, Vayasu chein achartumim balatehem lehotzia sakinim velo yacholu, vatihi akinam ba'adam uva behema. By Dam and Svardea, the magicians of Paro were able to replicate the makos. But by Kinim, they try to. They try to use their sorcery, they try to use sleight of hand in order to make the dirt turn into Kinim, but they weren't able to. And it says, Vatihi akinam ba'adam va'bema. And the kinim, it affected both animals and men. Vayomru hachartumim el paro. The magician said to Paro, Etzba elokimhi. It's the finger of God. Vayechazak le paro velo shama'alihem kasher dibir Hashem. I didn't bring in the end of the pasuk, but the end of the pasuk says that Paro didn't listen as Hashem had mentioned, had said. Then his heart was hardened. So what is this idea of Etzba Elokim? What does it mean that the Chartumim said to Paro, Etzba Elokim he? This is the finger of Hashem. If we look at Rashi on this Pasuk, but this is not just Rashi. All the Mefarshim say this. I just brought down Rashi because he's Rashi. But if you look in the Taras Chaim and the other Rishonim on this Pasuk, they say this a similar idea by Etzba Elokim he. And Tes Vav, Rashi number 7, he says, Etzba Elokim he, Maka zu ena al yidei kishafim. This maka was not done through sorcery. Me'es hamakom he, that it's from God. Okay? So what is Etzba Elokim? Etzba Elokim seems to be a reflection on the part of the Mitzrayim that this is not something that could be produced by man, but rather it's something that's produced by God. It's a reflection of God in some way. And man can't produce kinim, but God can take dirt and produce kinim out of dirt. So the idea of Etzba Elokim is that it's nicker, it's really obvious that it's from God and it's not human, it doesn't have any human quality in terms of this makkah, in terms of this plague. But there's also another idea by Etzba Elokim. Why is it Etzba Elokim? And this, we look at the Ramban. The Ramban says, by Etzba Elokim, he says, "Velo amru yad Elokim." It doesn't say the hand of Elokim, of God. Klomar, meaning to say, "Maka kitana meito." It's a small maka from him. Okay, and then he says, "Velo amru etzba Hashem." This is a separate point. He's talking about the difference between Elokim and Hashem. So the other concept in Etzba Elokim is that it's small. It's smaller relative to yad. If it said yad, it would mean bigger. But the fact that it says etzba, it reflects a smallness. Okay. So now we have those two ideas. So can we use those two ideas to try to explain Rav Yossi Aglili and maybe give, you know, some type of insight as to what he's saying? And then we'll come to like an overall approach to what the Mechilta means and what the Mechilta is expressing. Okay? Anybody want to try? I have to offer it as a possibility. Anybody want to try a possibility for what the concept is or what the Machlokas is at this point? Okay. So let's go back to Rav Yossi Aglili. He says that the 10 makos are really called Etzba Elokim. and Etzba Elokim is a reference to all 10 Makos. So if we plug in the ideas, or if we express the ideas that Rashi mentions by Etzba Elokim and the Ramban, we see two things about the Makos in Mitzrayim. One idea is that the Makos in Mitzrayim, it was nicker in the Makos that it was from God. And that's the idea of Etzba Elokim. And it's true that it came about at Kinim, but if we look back now, if we reflect back on Dam and Svardeya, there's also ideas and concepts and aspects of those Makos which clearly reflect that it's from God and not, you know, it's not a human couldn't replicate those in the same exact way that God replicated it. Even though they were able to replicate it, they weren't able to replicate it in the same manner, with the same multitude, in the same manner as God. So the idea of Etzba Elokim is that the Makos are really a means of reflecting, you know, God's abilities and God's that God was behind them. So the plagues are just a front for as a reflection on God, that really God is responsible for this. But on the other hand, Etzba is also an idea in smallness. That the Makos, it's true that the Makos did reflect God, but you have to study the Makos. And in studying the Makos, you see God. You see that it must have been God that created the kingdom. You see by the Mitzrayim that they attempted to use their sleight of hand in order to do the same thing, in order to produce kingdom, but they were unable. So through studying the Maka and through understanding the Maka, they realized that this wasn't human, but it was really from God. Now, what about by Yamsuf? So the concept of Maka seems to be that we don't look at Maka simply as what it was in terms of, you know, in terms of Dam, Svardeya, Kinim, but we look at them as an expression or a reflection of God's works, of God's involvement. And the Makos in general are called Etzba Elokim because the Makos there's a recognition of God through the Makos. It's nicker. It's recognizable in the Makos that God is there, that God did these things and that they're the handiwork of God. And that's why it uses Etzba Elokim in reference to the Makos of Mitzrayim, even though it's referencing Kinim, because that was the point where the Mitzrayim realized that it was from God and it wasn't human. So what's the difference between Yamsuf and the Makos in Mitzrayim? See, by Yamsuf, it wasn't Etzba, but it was Yad. Yad seems to imply a much greater Etzba. It's a much greater reflection on God, on God's presence, on God's handiwork. And if we look in Rashi, there's an idea that's expressed in Rashi that I think we can utilize to understand what the Mechilta or Rav Yossi Aglili Shita is. Rashi in Oz Yashir, he says on Zekeli in number 9, it's on Oz Yashir, Bechvodo Nigla Aleihem. By Yamsuf, HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself in all his glory to Klal Yisrael. V'hayu marin oso be'etzba. The people could almost point to God, God's presence. Rasa shivcha alayom mashalo ra'u nevi'im. A maidservant by Yamsuf saw more than a Navi would ever see. So the revelation of God at Yamsuf was far greater, was far superior than the revelation of God in the Makos. So if we go back to Rav Yossi Aglili, Rav Yossi Aglili is saying that a Maka is not a Maka, but a Maka is a Maka because it reflects on God. It reflects on God's presence, on God's handiwork. And the Makos in general, they do reflect on God's handiwork, but they're Etzba. They only reflected on it in a small way as compared to Yamsuf. By Yamsuf, when the Jews were at Yamsuf, the Makkah when he says Makkah, he's referring to the Yam itself, the Yam closing in on the Mitzrayim. That Makkah itself almost contained five times the amount of Etzba. It was a far superior revelation of God, a reflection of God's handiwork. So I think that Rav Yossi Aglili, what he's showing is that there's a relationship between the Makos of Mitzrayim and the Makos al Yamsuf, but it doesn't mean that literally there's 50 separate plagues by Yamsuf. It doesn't mean that there was Barad Arba Choshech, at Yamsuf, but a plague is an Etzba Elokim. A plague is a means of reflecting on God's handiwork, on God's presence. And by Mitzrayim, it was there, but it was Etzba, it was smaller, as the Ramban points out. It was Kitana, it was smaller. By Yamsuf, it was far greater. And that's the idea, the first idea Rav Yossi Aglili is saying, is that we have to reflect on the fact we have to look at Makos a little bit differently. Maka is categorized not simply as what it is, but it's categorized in terms of what it reflects and how it reflects God. And Yom Suf was far superior and far greater than the Makos of Mitzrayim. The Makos of Mitzrayim, you can see Hashem in the Makos, you have to study them. But by Makos Yom Suf, by Yom Suf itself, anybody who was there, Ra Shifcha Ala Yom, Mashallah Ra Neviim, they saw something, they saw a greater revelation of God. It was more nicker, it was much more recognizable, God's presence in Yom Suf, at Yom Suf. So that's the first idea. The first idea is Rav Yossi Aglili, which is a nice chiddush, a nice idea. But what about the other two ideas, Rav Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva? How are they differing from Rabbi Yossi Aglili, and what exactly are they trying to express in their shitas? So we have to look at we have to do the same exact type of analysis and the same methodology to try to figure out what Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva are saying, and then we'll come back and we'll put everything together. So let's look at the pasuk in Tehillim that's quoted. The pasuk is number 10 on the source sheet. It's Memtes. It's Ayin Ches Memtes in Tehillim. Yishalach Bam Charon Apo Evra V'Zam Bitzara Mishlachas Malachei Ra'im. He dispatched against them the kindling of his anger, wrath, fury, and trouble, a delegation of evil messengers. And according to both Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer, this is a reference to each makkah, that within each makkah there were four makos or five makos, whether you count Charon Apo as one of them, but each word in this pasuk is a different makkah. So what does that mean? If we look, what exactly are these words? If we look in the Malbim, Bir Hamilos, his explanation of what the words mean, he says, it's to the left, it's number 11, Charon Apo Evra V'Zam. Zam Mishtatif Im Hashemos Hamorim Ala Onesh V'Aklala. Whenever Zam is used, the word Zam, it's a reference to punishment and cursing, which is an idea, I think, in Schar V'Onesh. V'Hevdel Bein Charon Af V'Evra. And what's the difference between Charon Af and Evra? Sha'Evra Hu Sha'Koes Yavor Hagvul Lechos Gam Al Mishlo Chata. That when it says Evra, it's a reference to a person getting angry and his anger spilling over into somebody who even wasn't a sinner. Kamasha Kasa Bekam Mekomos, and then he says, Kibibara Nitzal Yares Devar Hashem, Vehinis Mikneo Alabatim, Lochena Davar Hikas Kulam. When Hashem, when he destroys everything, so it's even though the Malbim is referencing to Barad, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva are referencing it to all the Makos. And there's an idea of Evra, that Evra is a reference to the Kas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu being expressed, that it's not a limited Kas, but it's an overflowing Kas. And I think he doesn't explain Tzara. Tzara means, I think, distress. And Mishlachas Malachei Ra'im is, as the English says, a delegation of evil messengers. So how does this Pasuk relate back to the concept of the Makos, and how can we learn about the Makos of Yom Suf as relates to this Pasuk? So I think that Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer, they're both saying a very deep idea. And it's similar to what Rabbi Yossi Aglili was saying, but it's a little bit different. See, they call, it's interesting, if you look back at Rabbi Eliezer, he says, every single Makos haisa shel arba Makos, or shel chamisha Makos. So their idea of a Makos is not just Etzba Elokim, but their idea of a makkah is an expression of hashkacha, an expression of God's intervention. You see, there's different expressions in the Torah when God intervenes. One is Charon Af, another one's Evra, Vizam. These are different characteristics or categories of expressing hashkacha. So what the idea that Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva are saying is that we can't look at Makos of Mitzrayim as Dam Sfardei Kinim, but we look at them as expressions of the hashkacha, of divine intervention. And each idea in the makkah expressed a different idea of divine intervention, an idea of Charon Af, an idea of Evra, an idea of Zam, an idea of Mishlachas Malachei Ra'im, which I think is how intervention, or how Schar V'Onesh was executed by God. So the Chiddush that Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva are both saying is that within each makkah of Mitzrayim, we have to look at the makkah in terms of how it reflects on this category or this midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of Charon Af, of Evra, of Zam, Mitzara, Mishlachas, Malachei Ra'im. And when we look at it that way, when we look at a makkah, not just as, you know, Tzvardei Adam Kinem, but we look at it in terms of what it's reflecting on God's, you know, categories of Hashgacha, then also we can understand Yom Suf on a deeper level. See, by Yom Suf is really one event. It was really the event of the Mitzrayim going into the Yam and the Yam closing in on them. But within Yom Suf, there are multiple expressions of different characteristics of God, Amidas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Machlokas is 200, 250. It's a question of whether Charonaf is a particular expression or a general expression. But the basic idea that they're both conveying is that within Yam Suf, one is able to see on a far greater level, one is able to see the characteristics of Hashgacha, the categories of Hashgacha. If you look at Yam Suf and you dissect it, you can see that in this particular situation or this aspect of Yam Suf, there is Zam, there is Ever. You can see all these midos, these characteristics of Hashgacha and categories of Hashgacha far more superiorly in Yam Suf. Okay, so the basic machlokas between Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Akiva is that they all understand Makos on a deeper level. They're saying you can't understand Makos in a simplistic level, but you have to look at a Maka in terms of what it reflects about God. And Rabbi Yossi Aglili is saying the idea of Etzba Elokim, simply the recognition that this is God's handiwork, is the main idea of the Makos, but it was seen on a smaller scale by the Makos and on a far superior, greater scale by Yam Suf. But the other idea, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Akiva, they're saying that the Makos of Mitzrayim really reflected different categories of Hashgacha, that Charon Af is expressed in the Torah in many different places, and in the Makos, if you study the Makos, you can see Charon Af, you can see Evra, you can see Zam, you can see Tzara, and if you study Yam Suf, you can see it far more obviously and far on a far superior level. So that is really what the machlokas is. But you see that they're really discussing this because I didn't put this in the sheets. But right before this, you have the Tzach Adash Be'achav. And the Tzach Adash Be'achav is the whole categorization of makos. How do we classify makos? How do we categorize them? Which makos go with which? So this is a furtherance of that idea that you can't look at makos from a superficial standpoint, but you have to look at a maka in terms of it as a reflection on God, as a reflection of God's handiwork. And that's really the chiddush that this mechilta is expressing. Is that idea clear? Does anybody have any questions or thoughts? Okay. All right, so one other point that I'm going to make is whether, does this belong in the Haggadah or not? And I mentioned in the beginning of this year that some of us have it in our Haggadah, but some of us don't have it in our Haggadah, and why not? Why wouldn't you have this in our Haggadah or in your Haggadah? There's a Rav, there's a piece by the Rav, and the Rav quotes the Rambam. If you look at number 12, this is Hare Kadem. He says, Kasava Rambam, Beperek Zayin, Mehilchos Chamitu Matzah, Halacha Aleph, Mitzvah Saseh, Shel Torah, Lisaper, Benisim, Beneflos, Shinasu, Laavosenu, Bemitzrayim, Beleel Chamisha, Sar Benisan. It's a mitzvah to discuss and to be Mesaper with regard to the Nisim, the miracles and the wondrous things that were done to our forefathers in Mitzrayim on the night of the 15th in Nisan, Shinamar, as it says, Zachor Sayom Azah Asher Yitzasem in Mitzrayim, you should remember the day in which they left Mitzrayim, Kemo Shinamar, Zachor Sayom HaShabbos, just as it says, Zachor Sayom HaShabbos. Umashma, Medivrei Rambam Halalu, De'ein Mitzvah Lesaper Ulahaskir Es Kriyas Yamsuf Beleil Pesach. According to this Rambam, it would appear that there is no idea and there is no mitzvah of mentioning Kriyas Yam Suf, which is what this mechilta is about, on Leil Pesach. Ela rak lesaper benisim shenasu b'mitzrayim greda. But the only thing that should be mentioned are the nisim that were done in Mitzrayim. Kemosha kasev shenasu lavosenu b'mitzrayim daika, as the Rambam says, that were done to our forefathers in Mitzrayim specifically. So the Rambam seems to indicate that you can't speak about Kriyas Yam Suf. Uve emes harambam l'shitaso eno mevi benusach ha-gadashlo es ha-memra be'inyan ha-mako shalaku ha-mitzrayim al-yam. The Rambam leaves this mechilta out. It's shocking, I know. We all have this mechilta, this famous machlokas between Rav Yossi Aglili, Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Eliezer, but the Rambam leaves it out, and he explains why. V'gama piyut de'kama malos tovos l'makom aleinu. He also leaves that out. Velo huskru b'hagada shalo rak ha-nisim shenasu b'mitzrayim atzma. The Rambam only mentions the nisim, the miracles that were done in Mitzrayim. U'kamo shenemar l'man tisaper ba'oznei bencha esa sherisalalti b'mitzrayim. As the pasuk says, in order to teach your children and to discuss with your sons, that which Hashem, hisalalti means to be amused by or to be mocked in Mitzrayim, that he played with the Mitzrayim. But the reference is that we only talk about the Nisim of Mitzrayim, according to the Rambam. V'hinei yesh la'ayin behemshech lashon ha'Rambam, And he goes on, he even furthers it. He says, we should be specific in the Lashon of the Rambam. Shekasav, he writes, Beleil Chamisha Asar B'Nisan, on the night of the 15th. So we assume that when he says the night of the 15th, that's a reference to Pesach itself. Ma Kavanaso B'Zeh, what does he mean? Hayim Kavanaso Azman Mitzvah Sasipur, does he mean that the Zman in which it's a mitzvah to talk about Mitzrayim is the 15th? The Zman a mitzvah hu Beleil Tesvav, that the Zman's on the 15th. O Yesh Lomar, the Kavanaso al Guf HaSipor Vanisim. Or does he mean that the Sipor of the miracles, the Achiv L'Saper Hu Rak Al HaNisim Aniflo, Shinasu L'Avasinu B'Leil Tesvav, that the mitzvah is only to talk about the Nisim that occurred on the 15th, on the night that they left. U'l'fizeh Yesh Lano Nisinas Tam Nosefes B'Divrei Rambam. Lama Chayv L'Saper Rak Al HaNisim Shinasu B'Mitzrayim B'Lo Kriyas Yamsuf. Now we have another reason why we talk about the Nisim of Mitzrayim according to the Rambam and not Kriyas Yamsuf. Ki achiv sipor hu rak al nisim shel Leil Tesvav. The chiv sipor is only with regard to the Nisim of Leil Tesvav. The Kriyas Yamsuf halo lo haisa b'Leil Tesvav. It wasn't on the 15th. V'zehu shehivi Rambam es pasuk de zachoris yom hazeh samuch mashakasa b'Leil Chamisha Asar b'Nisan de mashma de kavanasol al nisim shenasu b'Leil Tesvav v'tzarach in. The Rambam Shita is, first he says the Rambam Shita is that we only talk about the Nisim that occurred in Mitzrayim itself, and Kriyas Yamsuf didn't occur in Mitzrayim. And then the second thing that the Rambam mentions is that we only talk about the Nisim that occurred on the 15th. Now the question on this Rav is, this piece on the Rav is, what about all the Makos? How do we explain how the Makos are mentioned if according to the Rambam, you're only supposed to talk about the Nisim of the 15th? And how come? And what do all the Rishonim do with this Mechilta? All the other Rishonim learn out the mitzvah of Sipor from the same Pasuk of Zachor or many other Rishonim. So what do they do with this Mechilta? How would they explain having this Mechilta in the Haggadah? Okay? So I think we can answer the Rambam. See, the Rambam maintains that the Makos of Mitzrayim were all there to lead up to the Yetziah. But really, it's inappropriate to talk about beyond the Yetziah because it takes away from the Yetziah itself. But the Yetziah itself is really, Yetzias Mitzrayim itself is really the focus of the Haggadah and Leil Pesach. But the reason why we mention the Makos, even though the Iker is really the 15th, is that we have to get context. We have to understand how they left. And the Makos give us insight into how they left Mitzrayim. So we have to express the Makos not as really the Iker Chiyav, but really as a means of really appreciating their Yetziah, the leaving of Mitzrayim. But what about the other side? How does the other side maintain that we have this Mechilta? So Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, I saw, he gives an answer. See, he says that really because this Mechilta isn't just about Kriyas Yamsuf, but it does reflect back on the Makos of Mitzrayim, so he maintains that it's really a Kiyam in Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. So the Machlokes between the Rambam and other Rishonim would seem to be whether you bring this Mechilta in, is the mentioning of Kriyas Yamsuf alone a negative because it takes away from the focus of Yetzias Mitzrayim? Or can you mention Kriyas Yamsuf as a secondary point because you can gain insight into the Makos of Mitzrayim as well? So that seems to be the Machlokes between the Rambam and other Shitas as to whether we have this Mechilta in our Haggadahs or we do not have this Mechilta in our Haggadahs. So that was just a halachic point. I hope everybody got that. I'll explain it again when I summarize this year. Does anybody have any questions or does that make sense? Clear? Please.
I guess it wasn't that clear to me. How is Kriyas Yamsuf so much greater than all the other ones, and what are they based on?
So let me review that point. Okay, so everybody's basing their limud on the idea of Etzba Elokim versus Yad. That one pasuk says Etzba, and the other pasuk by Kriyas Yamsuf it says Yad. So the question is, what does Etzba mean, and versus Yad? What is the relationship between the two? So if we look at Rashi on the idea of Etzba Elokim and the Psukim, Etzba Elokim means that it was clear that it was from God. That when the Mitzrayim saw Kinim, they realized that they couldn't replicate it, and they saw, oh, this is clearly from God, this is not human, and that's the idea of Etzba Elokim. It says, Vayomra chartamim al paro Etzba Elokim, this can't be human. So that's the idea of Etzba, and Yad is, the idea of Rabbi Yossi Aglili is Yad is five times that. So what does it mean, five times that? So I mentioned that Rashi points out that by Yamsuf, that it wasn't nicker in a small sense. It was nicker in, it says that a ra'a shifcha ala yam, mashallah ra'u nevi'im, that a maidservant at Yamsuf saw more and had more insight into God at Yamsuf than even a Navi. So it was so clear that Yamsuf was such a clear demonstration of God, of God's handiwork, of God's presence, far more so than the Makos. So it's so the idea of Rav Yossi Aglili is that he's comparing the two. He's saying that in the Makos, a Maka is really not a, is a Maka is really an expression or reflection of Etzba Elokim, a reflection of God's handiwork. But by Yamsuf, it was Yad, it was far superior, it was obvious. Rashi says that they could almost point to God, even though it's impossible. We don't say God's physical, but they can point when they saw Yamsuf occur, and it was so obvious that God was there and God's presence was much more clearly evident in Yamsuf. So that is the comparison. That's the first comparison. But then the second idea, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Akiva, they quote this pasuk in Tehillim. So they're saying that within each makkah there were multiple makos. What does it mean there are multiple makos? It doesn't mean that within each bara there was arba choshech, dam tzvardeya. No, that's impossible. He means that a makkah is not barad. It's not choshech. A makkah is an expression of hashgacha, of God's intervention. And we have different categories of intervention. Like in the Torah, it says charonaf in many places. Whenever it says charonaf, there's a similarity in terms of the action and the expression of charonaf in one place to another place to another place. So a makkah is an expression of, let's say, these ideas, these concepts of charonaf, zam, tzara, that within each makkah we can learn about how hashgacha works. We can learn about the categories of hashgacha. But by Yamsuf, the idea is that there was 200 or 250. It means that by Yamsuf, these ideas that we can learn about how God intervenes and the categories of intervention was much more obvious. It was much clearer. And that's the Machlokas. The Machlokas is about Charonaf, but the basic idea is that in Yamsuf, there is a far greater demonstration of categorization and of Hashgacha. It means that if you study Yamsuf, you can see all these different ideas being expressed. You can see Charonaf, you can see Tzara, but you can see it on a far greater scale. Either you can see more of it, or you can see it that it's not as masked, that it's more obvious. So those are the two ways I would explain it. So that's the concept. But the concept is really, it's really a chiddush in how you look at Makos, because we look at Makos as Dam Tzvardeya, like we read before, or Ditzach Hadash Be'achav. But they're showing you that you don't look at the Makkah itself. Look at what the Makkah reflects about, on how the Makkah reflects on God, on Hashgacha, on how Hashgacha works. That's how you categorize Makos. You categorize it as Zam and Sara and Charonaf. You categorize it in terms of its ability to reflect on Hashgacha, on divine intervention, on the categories of divine intervention. Okay? And then the last idea, so that was just basic review. Yeah, no point. No problem. Sorry, no problem. I would say that if you study Az Yashir, then if you study Az Yashir and you see all the Rashis and the Rishonim on Az Yashir, you get a clear idea of the different expressions and Midos HaKadosh Baruch Hu that were being expressed at Yamsuf. There's a multitude of them. So I would say that Az Yashir is clearly a reflection of that. You don't see by any of the other Makos that, you could say because Klal Yisrael were still enslaved, but you don't see this expression of Shira in which the people clearly, you know, the people in Moshe Rabbeinu clearly express, you know, their wonder and of seeing so many expressions of God, you know, so many Midos HaKadosh Baruch Hu, characteristics of God. Like Hashem Yishmil Choma, Hashem Shemo, or all the ideas of justice in Az Yashir. Those are all expressed by Kriyas Yamsuf, but those ideas were not expressed as fully or as obviously in the Makos.
I guess maybe part of it is like the effect that it had on the people in their state, and when we're looking at it in our state, maybe it looks to us just as it seems different to us.
Yeah, definitely. But they were in that. You're right. You're saying that it could be because of the state that they were in that it was. But I think the Mechilta is saying differently, though. I think they're saying that it's not just the state that they're in, but objectively, if you study Az Yashir and you study the Shiras Yam and you study all the particular ideas of Yamsuf, not just the fact that, you know, the Yam closed in on them, but all the particulars. If you study the Shira, I think you can gain, you know, tremendous insight into HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the categories of Hashgacha and how God intervenes on a far greater level than you would by the Makos. So I think that's what they're getting at. I think that's what they're saying. Okay? Just one more point. So the last idea was a question of whether this belongs in the Haggadah at all or not. And the Rambam leaves it out. And the reason the Rambam leaves it out is because he maintains that the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is limited to the Nisim of Mitzrayim. And more specifically, he says the 15th, the night that they left, the actual Yetziyah itself. And then the question was on the Rambam, so then why mention the Makos in his Haggadah? Because the Makos give us context that gives us a greater appreciation of the Yetziyah and how we got out. And it lets us understand the Yetziyah on a deeper level. But Kriyas Yamsuf occurred after the fact. So it's really, according to the Rambam, Kriyas Yamsuf doesn't belong in the Haggadah, any mention of it. But there are other Rishonim that do bring it down. And I saw that Ramosha Soloveitchik mentions that they might maintain that this really is a Kiyam in the Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim, because this Mechilta doesn't just teach us about Kriyas Yamsuf, but it reflects back on the Makos as well. And because it reflects back on the Makos, therefore it fits into the Haggadah, it fits into the theme of the Haggadah. So the question, the Machlokah, seems to be, is Kriyas Yamsuf alone a problem? Is it a problem to mention Kriyas Yamsuf because it takes away from our appreciation of Yetzias Mitzrayim? Or can you mention Kriyas Yamsuf as long as you gain insight into the Makos, as long as you gain insight into some of the Nisim and the Niflos of Mitzrayim? Then it's okay to mention Kriyas Yamsuf, but you can't just mention it by itself. So that would be the Machlokas in terms of whether we have it in our Haggadah or not. Okay, any questions? Anybody else have any questions? Any thoughts? All right, so I want everybody to have a Chag Kasher V'Sameach, and I think that probably...